The Blind Californian, published by the California Council of the Blind, Volume 60, Number 3, Summer 2016. 1. The Blind Californian, quarterly magazine of the California Council of the Blind, Summer 2016, Volume 60, Number 3. Published in Braille, large print, cassette, email, BC subscribe at ccbnet.org, and online in readable and downloadable text and audio media. Jeff Tom, President, 7414 Mooncrest Way, Sacramento, California, 95831, 916-429-8201. Jeff Tom at ccbnet.org. Executive Office, California Council of the Blind, 1303 J Street, Suite 400, Sacramento, California, 95814-2900, 800-221-6359, toll-free, 916-441-2100, voice, 916-441-2188, fax, email, ccotb@ccbnet.org. Website, www.ccbnet.org. San Francisco Bay Area Office, Catherine Skivers, 836 Risotto Street, Hayward, California, 94545-2120, 510-357-1986, kathy.skivers@ccbnet.org. Page 2, Los Angeles Area Office. Donna Pomerantz, 1115 Cordova Street, number 402, Pasadena, California, 91106-3036, 626-844-4388, donna.pomerantz@ccbnet.org. Mitch Pomerantz, Director, Advocacy and Governmental Affairs, 800-221-6359, toll-free, 626-372-5150, cell, governmentalaffairs@ccbnet.org. Webmaster@ccbnet.org. Judy Wilkinson, Editor, 1550 Bancroft Avenue, number 113, San Leandro, California, 94577-5264, 510-357-1844, editor@ccbnet.org. Susan Glass, Associate Editor, 408-257-1034, editor@ccbnet.org. Page 3. The California Collection is a weekly news service provided by phone, in English and Spanish, at 800-221-6359, Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. and all day on weekends and holidays, by email subscription. Send a blank message to connection-subscribe@ccbnet.org or on the web at www.ccbnet.org. Submissions for the California Connection can be emailed to ca.connection@ccbnet.org. Non-members are requested and members are invited to pay a yearly subscription fee of $10 toward the production of The Blind Californian. In accepting material for The Blind Californian, priorities will be given to articles concerning the activities and policies of the California Council of the Blind and to the experiences and concerns of blind persons. Recommended length is under 3 pages or 1,800 words. The deadline to submit material for the fall 2016 issue of The Blind Californian is noon on August 15, 2016. Please send all address changes to the Executive Office. Page 4. Table of Contents. From the Editor's Desk, Judy Wilkinson. Page 5. President's Message, The Three L's by Jeff Tom. Page 8. Governmental Affairs Report by Mitch Pomerantz. Page 11. 2016 Resolutions Summaries by Gabe Griffith, Chair, Resolutions Committee. Page 19. CCB Teleconference Board Meeting Minutes Summary, January 25th, 2016, by Artis Bazin, CCB Secretary. Page 20. Profile, The Silicon Valley Council of the Blind by Susan Glass. Page 23. In Memoriam, Winifred Downing by Frank Welty, President, San Francisco Chapter, CCB. Page 32. CCB Convention Report 2016 by Vivian Younger and Charlene Ornelas. Page 44. California Council of the Blind Officers and Board as of July 1, 2016. Page 60. Page 5. From the Editor's Desk by Judy Wilkinson. As recently as January, I had assumed I'd begin my column for this summer issue by intoning that I would be beginning my 7th year as BC editor. But the past few months have brought new beginnings as well as sad, inevitable endings. The loss of two of our CCB giants within 2 weeks of each other has put us all in a somber mood. In this issue, Frank Welty, president of her home chapter, pays tribute to Winifred Downing, who died on April 2nd. Our fall issue will feature a tribute to Al Gill, who died on April 17th. Recently, Al told us he had been a CCB member since 1951. Our respectful condolences go to Wynn's and Al's families. As to the new beginnings, in early February, I posted my intentions to run for CCB president. My initial reluctance has been replaced with optimism and enthusiasm, yes, even excitement. I was gratified to be elected by acclamation at our recent CCB convention. I'll be sharing more about my plans when I write my first column as your president. Page 6. Just in the last issue, I stated I would be continuing as editor for the foreseeable future. Well, so much for foreseeing the future. It quickly became obvious that not only wouldn't I have time to do justice to both positions, but in fact it wouldn't be appropriate for me to continue as editor. When I first became active again in CCB in 2009, I joined the Publications Committee, and when Mike Keithley asked to relinquish the BC editorship, I was delighted to step in. Of all the hats I've worn over the past 6 years, the editorship has remained dearest to my heart. My secret goal was to break Wynn Downing's record of editing for 10 years. So much for records. For my final column, I plan to review my favorite activities from the past 6 years, but, you may be glad to read, time and space do not permit. Suffice to say, I'm proud that in some years, we have welcomed several previously unpublished contributors. The addition of the associate editorship position, so ably filled by Susan Glass, particularly with her incredible interviews, has enriched our publication. My own columns have presented a wide variety of topics. Page 7. Some anguished, some thoughtful, some, I like to think, even funny. It was a pleasure putting together material in the historic year of CCB's 80th birthday, and for this, BC's 60th year. I have had the privilege of working with two fine presidents. As CCB moves forward, I intend to seek funds to once again publish a longer version of our magazine. To keep the publication vital, vibrant, and current, we seek your suggestions and especially your contributions. Money would be great, but here I meant articles. I would like to conclude by thanking and acknowledging the amazing work of the Publications Committee, so charmingly and ably presided over by Linda Porelli. This committee meets almost monthly. They are totally dedicated and work extremely hard. And we even have fun at our meetings. Their names appear at the end of each issue. Now, drum roll please. The name you will see in this space beginning with the fall issue is Mike Keithley, who has graciously agreed to serve once again as our editor. Page 8. How lucky we are to have such a capable, conscientious helmsman. But remember, though I'm vacating this space, I won't be far away. Beginning with the fall issue, you'll find me just one column down in the table of contents. Page 8 continued. President's Message. The Three L's by Jeff Tom. Before I launch into the final theme of my President's Message, I want to take a moment to do two things. Although they aren't going away, we owe a tremendous debt to those of our leaders leaving the board of directors. This is especially the case with immediate past president Donna Pomerantz and first vice president Eugene Lozano Jr. Their knowledge, selfless devotion to the organization, and high degree of integrity provide a model for future leaders. Secondly, July will begin a new era in CCB leadership, and we can be proud to have selected Judy Wilkinson as our president, Frank Welty as our first vice president, and Gabe Griffith as our second vice president. Page 9. With their leadership and hard work from all of us, CCB's future can indeed be a bright one. I have great admiration for those I consider as having philosophical minds or as being visionaries, as I am definitely not in that camp. Nonetheless, I thought that for my last message of these pages, I'd share a bit of my personal creed that if I could live up to, would certainly benefit me and those with whom I come into contact. As this article title indicates, I want to talk about the three L's that are important to me. The first L is learn, not only about the world around us, but about ourselves. For me, anyway, learning isn't easy. It is hard not to reject lessons that take you out of your comfort zone or that violate long-held beliefs. It is also tough to take a hard look at oneself and try to apply life's lessons. Learning is about looking back, reflecting, and then moving forward. Applying a platitude from the world of football: when you give up a touchdown pass, you need to shrug it off and figure out how to do better next time. Not burden yourself with your past failure. Page 10. As an example, the realization that I could have done a better job of transitioning from president to immediate past president of CCB the first time around will give me the opportunity to do a better job this time. When we lose an advocacy battle or a fundraiser doesn't achieve everything we had hoped for, we need to use these incidents as building blocks to learn for the future. The second L is simply live. How many times have we heard the aphorism, "Live life to the fullest," or something similar? I don't mean the old eat, drink, and be merry view, although enjoyment is part of living. To me, live means spending your time in ways that are important to you, being with family and friends, one's vocation, working for the betterment of the world as we do in CCB, or any other way in which you feel that spending your time is valuable. How often are we told that life is too short to waste? And the older I get, the more I value the truth of that statement. The final L, as you might guess, is love. I don't intend to wax poetic about something I know each of you can talk about just as well or maybe better than I. Page 11. I will say, however, that far too often I let emotions like ego, pride, anger, and others carry the day when love would be a far better star to steer by. Every family, including the CCB family, goes through times of turmoil, and love for one another and for our mission will see us through the bad times and make the good times even better. I can't thank you enough for giving me not one chance, but two, to be the leader of our organization. I've learned a lot, including some hard lessons, lived through some tough times, but far more that have been extremely rewarding. And I am ending my tenure with a fierce love for the California Council of the Blind and our wonderful CCB family. Page 11 continued. Governmental Affairs Report by Mitch Pomerantz. It is just over a week since we returned from the 2016 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention. Although you will not see this until early summer, nonetheless, the legislative beat goes on, so this will serve as my update on bills sponsored or followed by CCB as of this writing. Page 12. Before proceeding, however, I need to take a slight detour. During my final 2 years as president of the American Council of the Blind, I began thinking seriously about what I would do once my presidential duties were concluded. Having worked in the ADA field for the city of Los Angeles, I decided to move into ADA consulting and training. I also determined to see if there might be a need for someone with direct expertise regarding blindness as an expert witness in legal matters. Beginning in 2014, things began breaking in a positive direction. Donna, who is an integral part of this endeavor, and I have several consulting and expert witness contracts, which are increasingly taking up our time. As a result, I'm stepping away from chairing and serving on the Governmental Affairs Committee, as well as from some other organizational responsibilities. In order to properly oversee and coordinate CCB's advocacy efforts, page 13, the Governmental Affairs Chair needs to almost constantly monitor activities in Sacramento, and that isn't possible for me at this time. As you have doubtless figured out by now, CCB did not conduct a Capitol Day in Sacramento this year, as we hoped. Late in 2015, President Tom and I thought we had a commitment from a member of the committee to oversee logistics. This turned out not to be the member's understanding of things, and neither Jeff nor I were in a position to take over this activity. So Capitol Day did not happen. It is my sincere hope that the next Governmental Affairs Committee Chair will be able to schedule and hold Capitol Day in 2017. As mentioned in this column previously, our efforts center on SB 1331 Pavely and AB 1824 Chang, a pair of guide dog-related bills supported by guide dog users of California. SB 1331 addresses matters under the purview of the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind. please refer to the Spring Blind Californian for specifics on this bill, as well as AB 1824. Page 14. Shortly after the CCB Conference and Convention, 1331 went before the Senate Business and Professions Committee, where, not surprisingly, the only opposition came from the Guide Dog Board itself. Editor's note. On May 12th, Jeff Tom sent the following email, quote, SB 1331, our Guide Dog Board bill, is on its way to the Senate floor. It was decided that the cost of the bill was insignificant, so that a hearing in Senate appropriations was unnecessary. It is likely that the bill will have no major problem passing the Senate, but we can anticipate significant opposition from the board in the Assembly and with the governor's office. This is likely to be a tough fight, end quote. AB 1824, Chang, would do a number of things to strengthen criminal provisions relating to dog attacks on service dogs. In March, the bill came before the Assembly Public Safety Commission, where it was placed on the consent calendar, meaning there was no opposition. Editor's note, the bill has passed in the Assembly and is awaiting Senate action. Page 15. Other bills being considered by CCB include AB 1584, Brown and Thurmond. Support would establish the cost of living adjustment, COLA, as a permanent component in the SSI-SSP program and would extend those increases over a four-year period, amounting to an overall increase of $84. In March, the bill was referred to the Assembly Human Services Committee, but is yet to be scheduled for hearing. AB 1797, Lackey. Support with amendment would authorize an individual to apply for IHSS in person or through electronic means, and would require the county, if an application is filed electronically, to provide the applicant a confirmation number. CCB is asking that the bill be amended with language to ensure that, in accordance with federal and state statutes, counties make any electronic means accessible to persons with disabilities, and specifically to those with vision impairments. This bill was also referred to Assembly Human Services, but is yet to be scheduled for hearing. Page 16, AB 2346, Baker. Support with amendment would require, when an applicant for or recipient of public social services is involved in a fair hearing, a public or private agency to provide a copy of the agency's position statement to the applicant or recipient through electronic means, and require the State Department of Health Care Services to make its position statement likewise available. As with AB 1797, CCB is calling for an amendment to ensure accessibility for persons who are blind or have low vision. AB 2346 was passed unanimously by Assembly Human Services and referred to the Appropriations Committee for further action. CCB opposed two bills, SB 681, Hill, which would have reduced the fine for drivers making illegal right turns on red lights, and AB 61, Allen, which would have legalized operation of private tech shuttles at certain San Francisco bus stops. Both SB 681 and AB 61 died in their respective committees. However, the latter proposal was reintroduced by the author of AB 1641, which, as of this date, was to have been heard in Assembly Transportation. It has not been heard, and we believe that a compromise has been worked out, which will take these shuttles away from public bus stops. Page 17. CCB is also supporting Assembly Joint Resolution 35, Brown, which would seek a change in federal policy in order to make SSI recipients eligible for food stamps in lieu of giving them an additional few dollars per month. No action has been taken on this measure as of this writing. At our conference and convention last fall, I reported on SB 450, Roth, a proposal to permit some counties to conduct elections primarily via vote by mail, which CCB was supporting. I indicated then that the bill would be taken up in 2016. CCB has been part of a group of disability advocates involved in drafting language calling for those counties conducting vote-by-mail elections to offer ballots that blind and low-vision voters could privately and independently read and mark before a county could conduct such an election. To date, very little has happened to move this bill along, so SB 450 appears to be in legislative limbo. Page 18. However, CCB has recently learned about a related piece of legislation, AB 2252 Ting, Remote Access Vote by Mail, VBM Systems, which CCB is supporting. This legislation would remove some of the barriers in California state law to making accessible absentee voting available by allowing a voter with a disability to electronically receive and mark his or her vote by mail ballot using a remote accessible VBM system, which is defined as a mechanical, electromechanical, or electronic system, and its software that is used for the sole purpose of marking an electronic VBM ballot for a voter with a disability. AB 2252 was to have been heard on April 18th in the Assembly Committee on Elections and Redistricting, but we have no additional information at this writing. That will more than do it for this Governmental Affairs Report. Donna and I hope to see many of you at the upcoming ACB Conference and Convention in Minneapolis. Take care. Page 19. 2016 Resolution Summaries by Gabe Griffith, Chair, Resolutions Committee. Resolution 2016-1 dealt with the rising cost and decreasing attendance of CCB conference and conventions. It called on the president of the organization to establish an ad hoc task force to investigate alternative ways of participating in conventions and report back no later than the 2017 convention. Resolution 2016-2 dealt with funding for visually impaired teachers of visually impaired students to get driver's services. It was withdrawn and will be referred to the ACB National Convention since it involves federal funding. Resolution 2016-3 dealt with business enterprise consultants to the Business Enterprise Program. It talked about the BEC's lack of familiarity with the BEP rules and regulations and calls on the Department of Rehabilitation to require its BECs to spend time receiving occupational skills training with an experienced vendor in order to better advise the vendors they work with. Page 20. Resolution 2016-4 regarded a PBS affiliate in Southern California. The affiliate is not passing the audio description feed through to its viewers. The resolution calls on the PBS affiliate to pass through the audio description and also refer the issue to ACB, asking it to urge PBS to require its affiliated stations to pass through the audio description feed to their viewers. Resolution 2016-5 was the Hotel Appreciation Resolution. It affirmed how helpful the staff of the hotel was during the convention and expressed the organization's gratitude. Resolution 2016-6 was the Volunteer Appreciation Resolution. It stated how helpful the volunteers who helped during the convention were and expressed the organization's appreciation. Page 23 continued. Profile, The Silicon Valley Council of the Blind by Susan Glass. Editor's note, in the CCB family, the SVCB is by far the largest chapter, other than CCCLV, a statewide affiliate. We can all learn so much from this supremely successful chapter. End of editor's note, writing this profile of the Silicon Valley CCB chapter is the most daunting task that I've attempted as associate editor of the BC. I'm writing about my home chapter, which is like describing members of my family. I feel shy and self-conscious. I need to do it right or someone may ask for my head. The chapter has a rich history dating back to 1987, and several of its founding members are still here mentoring and guiding us. I've enjoyed interviewing them, and I hope that in writing this piece, I honor the chapter's history, its present health, and its future. Page 24. Back in 1986, there was another blindness organization in Santa Clara County. That was the Valley's original name before the Silicon nomenclature took over. Called the Santa Clara County Club of the Adult Blind, this organization functioned primarily as a social and recreational outlet for blind adults. The Silicon Valley Council of the Blind was funded by Bernice Kondarian, Roger Peterson, and Chris Gray in the fall of 1987. Other founding members include Judy Barnes, who was responsible for launching the chapter's newsletter, Richard Kendall, and Chris Walter, both employees at Telesensory. Greg Fowler and Julie Lovins, who produced the newsletter for many years. The chapter held its first meeting in Roger and Bernice's apartment, then moved on to a number of other locations, including Coffee, Tea, and Spice, which was a Mountain View coffee shop owned by a woman from India, a Chinese restaurant, the Mountain View Library, the Mercury Savings and Loan at San Antonio Shopping Center, the Santa Clara Valley Blind Center, and finally, its current location, the dining room of the Monte Vista Terrace Apartments in Mountain View. Page 25. Perhaps one advantage of this early roaming was the chapter's visibility in the surrounding community. Some of SVCB's early members have migrated to other chapters. Margie Donovan now contributes her excellent advocacy skills to the Capital chapter, and Frank Welty enriches the San Francisco chapter with his dynamic and diplomatic leadership strategies. Happily, the migration is multi-directional, and Silicon Valley is fortunate in counting Rob Turner in its ranks. We stole Rob from Southern California and have benefited from his wisdom and quiet sense of humor ever since. An overriding fact is that I have come to appreciate from writing these profile articles is how many talented people we have in our CCB family. Currently, the Silicon Valley chapter has 84 members, and of those 84, an average of 30 regularly attend the monthly general membership meetings. The chapter meets from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the third Saturday of every month, except in August when we hold our annual picnic and in December when we have our annual holiday party. Page 26. We typically have a program speaker for 1 hour, followed by our hour-long business meeting, followed by lunch, which we order from a nearby Eric's Deli. Although we have had a program chair for as long as I can remember, members often recruit our best speakers, and they give presentations themselves. Don Wilcox, who has been in our chapter since 1991, gave a fabulous talk about her 3-year sailing voyage around the world with her husband and children. Member Tamara Kearney told us about the years she spent in Australia working as a Braille subscriber and children's librarian. She also shared the differences between guide dog training in Australia and guide dog training here in the U.S. Diane Harms, who was the first blind court reporter in California, told us about her career and the education that she undertook to prepare for it. We've had programs featuring local audio describers and theater directors, speakers from our local paratransit agency, and programs from our League of Women Voters that outline upcoming ballot measures. Page 27. I asked several of my colleagues in the chapter to comment on what they see as its strengths. We're an exclusive, welcoming group of people, says Bev Clifford, who joined the Silicon Valley chapter in July of 2002. I was trying to get a low-interest loan so that I could purchase my first Braille note, and Roger Peterson told me who to call to get such a loan. And he also invited me to a monthly meeting. I soon discovered that people in the group would help you with all kinds of things, like learning about paratransit outreach and accessible prescriptions. I told my husband, Victor, these people know about all of these things that we've never heard of. I joined the chapter, and so did he. Both Don Wilcox and Greg Fowler cite SVCB's well-designed constitution as a strength. Roger, Bernice, and Chris gave us a good foundation when they wrote that constitution, says Don, and from the very start they modeled recruitment strategies and mentoring. The first time I attended a meeting in 1991, I felt like I was an imposter. I was just losing my sight and in denial. Page 28. I didn't feel blind yet, but Roger saved me. Without Roger, I'd still be stuck in Egypt somewhere in the Nile. The chapter also benefits from a number of good writers, Mike Keithley, Roger Peterson, Bev Clifford, Michelle McGrew, which means that the monthly newsletter gets a variety of columns and voices, and its editor doesn't have to work so hard. Fundraising efforts that have either educational or community service value are integral to SVCB. One such fundraiser is the Barbara Rhodes Adaptive Technology Grant, which was established in 2010 in honor of Barbara Rhodes, a longtime member who for years represented the chapter on committees concerned with transportation, technology, and accessible medications. The program annually awards a grant of up to $1,000 to a blind or visually impaired person living in Santa Clara, San Mateo, Santa Cruz, or San Benito counties who can best demonstrate the need for adaptive technology that will improve his or her quality of life or advance his or her educational and/or employment opportunities. Page 29. Our most recent fundraiser for the grant was an afternoon of old-time radio hosted by chapter member John Glass, who has a collection of more than 5,000 radio series, including such favorites as Gunsmoke, Dragnet, Suspense, Our Miss Brooks, and The Shadow. John pulled a number of friends to see what their favorites were, and on a Saturday afternoon in April, we gathered in our local Blind Center's auditorium for 3 hours of radio. We charged a modest admissions fee, and we also collected money for refreshments baked by chapter members. We raised over $400, so we're planning another such afternoon of radio, and this time we'll invite the general public. In 2007, the chapter published the SVCB 20th Anniversary Cookbook called Silicon Valley, 20 Years of Favorite Recipes. All included recipes had been enjoyed by chapter members at annual picnics and holiday parties, and each contributor included a story of the recipe's origin. These stories revealed details about the contributor's life and blindness. We formatted the book in Braille, large print, cassette, and CD in order to reach the widest audience. Page 30. Like many other CCB chapters, SVCB has a history of championing Braille literacy. Member volunteers as scorers and proctors for the Northern California Regional Braille Challenge. To honor Lewis Braille, we donated print copies of A Touch of Genius to several local libraries. We've designed and sold Braille print t-shirts extolling the virtues of Braille and audio literacy. One t-shirt incorporated headphones as part of its design in honor of those who listen to books. I asked my colleagues to comment on the challenges our chapter faces. Roger Peterson would like us to increase our advocacy activities where state and federal legislation is concerned. He'd like our membership to be more familiar with the ADA and its updates, and he'd like us to be even more active than we were in ACB. We need more people to participate, says Bev Clifford. It's good that 30 people attend meetings, but where are the other 50? Also, the same group of people tend to do most of the work. Page 31. We need more worker bees, says Don Wilcox, who along with Naomi Grubb has been handling hospitality and coordination of volunteers at our meetings for more than a decade. Moving tables, clearing surface space for refreshments, helping totally blind people find seats, and serving food. We need more physical help, and it would be great if we had more high partials, people with some sight, to help us. As chapter president, I echo Don's statements. I'd like to recruit more members and provide programs that meet their needs. Several in our chapter have disabilities in addition to blindness. Some of us are hearing impaired, and others face cognitive, mobility, and mental health challenges. We've focused some of our monthly programs on addressing those additional disabilities as they intersect with blindness. But we can do more. When possible, we should try to support events sponsored by other chapters in our region. Bayview Chapter's annual fundraiser comes to mind. Page 32, as well as San Francisco Chapter's education grant and the Mutstrut. We can and should publicize one another's activities, as prohibitive costs make attending state conventions more daunting. We may need regional mini-conventions. I believe that some discussions of this possibility have already begun. Page 32 continued. In Memoriam, Winifred Downing, by Frank Welty, President, San Francisco Chapter, CCB. Winifred Downing passed away peacefully on the morning of April 2, 2016. She was a leader in the blind community for many years, and she has been a mentor and an inspiration to many of us. As a teacher, she transmitted her knowledge of and love for Braille to her students. She was a tireless advocate for Braille. I first made Wynne's acquaintance on a shuttle bus ride during the convention of the American Council of the Blind in 1991 or 1992. Page 33. I had numerous opportunities to interact with Winifred during the following 2 decades of our mutual involvement with the California Council of the Blind. On April 11th, I shared in a moving and joyful funeral service with perhaps 200 family members and friends in her parish church in San Francisco, where she was a beloved member. As I now fill the position of the San Francisco chapter of CCB where she led and served for many years, I hope I can continue to preserve her legacy of advocacy, caring, leading, and teaching into the future. You can read her love-filled, life-filled obituary originally published in the San Francisco Chronicle at www.legacy.com/obit /obituaries/sfgate/obituary.aspx? (N=Winifred-Downing@PID=17953465) The following is a sampling of the many tributes for Winifred shared in the days immediately preceding and following her passing. Winifred taught me about advocacy just by her example. I wish her a peaceful passing. She has been so frail for so long. I hope our chapter and our lighthouse will do something in her memory. Page 34. She is surrounded by her loving family. She is in my thoughts. What an amazing life she has had, and all the love she gave and was given. Beth Berenson, San Francisco Chapter and GDUC. Thank you for sharing your warm thoughts. I have compiled them and emailed them to Winifred's daughter, Eileen. I know it will be of comfort, as it was of comfort to me. Charlie, Doris, and I spent some time with Winifred and her eldest daughter, who is a nurse today. Winifred was asleep our entire visit, and her breathing was labored, but she looked at peace. Her daughter told us that Winifred said that my children and grandchildren are well. I have lived a good life and ready to go. She is going as she wanted, with her mind intact and at home. I thanked Winifred for being an inspiration to me and to many students, and for making a significant difference in my life. It is my hope she heard me. I have told her before, but she doesn't seem to ever believe me, but at least the family now knows what difference she has made. Ellie Lee, teacher of the visually impaired and orientation and mobility instructor, San Francisco Unified School District, San Francisco Chapter. Page 35. Winifred Downing, one of the true giants of the California Council of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind, passed away peacefully at 3:45 this morning. Advocate, member, leader, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, and so much more, are words that barely scratch the surface when it comes to Win. She worked so incredibly hard to improve the lives of persons who are blind or have low vision. She also cared deeply about her family and the ACB and CCB families, and showed it with her love for so many of us. Jeff Tom, Vice President, ACB, President, CCB. She will be missed indeed. I will truly miss our chats that she and I have had throughout the years. May the Lord be with the family during this difficult time. Sylvia Lopez, Fresno Chapter. This is truly a sad day for CCB and ACB with such a loss. She wouldn't want us to mourn. Let's all show our respect and pitch in just a little more to keep the CCB and ACB as the great organizations she helped them to become. Rest in peace, Win. Charlene Ornelas, Director-Elect, CCC Board, San Diego Chapter and GDUC. Page 36. I first met Winifred when I joined the blindness movement in 1974, and as a young person just learning about advocacy. I was in the same chapter as Winifred, who was one of my strongest mentors for several years, teaching me why it was so important to advocate, how to calmly present topics of importance pertaining to blindness to others, and most important, the reason to continue always fighting for Braille. On the home front, Winifred was extremely talented in her activities in her homemaker responsibilities, and was a great mom. Winifred was also a super teacher, as she worked for Hadley, and had so much energy with everything she did. We must not forget that Winifred was also involved on the CCB Resolutions Committee for a long period of time. I will personally miss Winifred so much, and will always recall our times together and our many conversations. Best to Winifred's family with deepest sympathy. She is once again at peace, as she was while working on all the projects she put herself into at 100% without ever taking away from her family. Ken Metz, President, Greater Los Angeles Chapter, CCB, President, Guide Dog Users of California. Page 37. The San Francisco Chapter has suffered a great loss with the passing of Winifred. I will miss her tremendously. Among her other talents, she was a great mentor to many people. On a personal note, Win was very encouraging and supportive of all of my activities with the San Francisco Chapter and the CCB. She was especially proud of me when I was hired by the City and County of San Francisco. I will never forget all the conversations that I had with Win. Words cannot express the loss I am feeling right now. My condolences go out to her family. Rest in peace, Winifred. Peter Pardini, Treasurer, CCB, San Francisco Chapter. We have been notified that our chapter member, Winifred Downing, passed away this morning at 3:45 a.m. It is our understanding that she died peacefully at home in the company of her family. Page 38. Thank goodness she died peacefully. We will miss you awfully, Winifred. You were an inspiration for me throughout much of my life. I am grateful to have known and learned from you. David Mindel, Secretary, San Francisco Chapter. Wynne was a tremendous person, and if all of us could be as dedicated to the CCB as she was, we would go a long way. Wynne was a mentor when I had my son. She told me my son was losing too much weight as an infant, and she was right. If it weren't for Wynne, my son might not be here today. This world is a much better place because of Wynne's presence in it. She touched many people, she supported many people, and she was a role model for many of us. Wynne, rest in peace. Margie Donovan, ACB Capital Chapter and GDUC. Throughout all of the years in which I've known Winifred Downing as a colleague, she has been unceasingly a strong advocate of and full supporter for promoting and advancing Braille literacy in the blindness community, not only here in San Francisco, but in California and nationwide. Page 39. I have a lot of respect for the work which she did as a teacher of learning how to use the Optagon, as well as reading and writing Braille. She did her best to educate and reinforce that blind children and adults learn how to become literate in reading and writing Braille. I have to say, she did indeed love her library for the blind and visually impaired in San Francisco and beyond. Winifred, please rest in peace where there is no sunset or dawning. I extend my condolences to Winifred's family in this most difficult time of her passing. Jim Blackston, San Francisco Chapter. My most sincere condolences to the friends and families of Winifred. The few interactions I've had with her have always been very pleasant. I have always enjoyed reading her submissions in the BC. She will definitely be missed. Guillermo Robles, CCB. Wynne and I knew each other pretty well. When I announced I was going to run for president, she calls me up. I'm on my way home from work, and she says, "Are you really sure you can do this? You don't suffer fools gladly." And I said, "Well, I guess the fools will just have to get used to me." Page 40. When I asked Wynne to become an editor of the BC, she said, "Oh no, I don't know anything about technology. I can't do that." I think it took 2 or 3 conversations for me to convince her. One thing that Wynne and I had in common, we were sticklers for editing. Wynne never tolerated grammatical or spelling errors or poor sentence structure. Anything. The BC, with all due respect to former and current editors, Wynne was the best we ever had. She'll be missed. Mitch Pomerantz, former president, ACB and CCB. Wynne made me laugh so hard. She was not one for swearing. Her strongest swearing would be, she hated something with a purple passion. She was not one for swearing. Her strongest swearing would be she hated something with a purple passion. She was such a special person. I miss her. Leslie Tom, Capital Chapter. Obie Schumann shared that his late wife Connie and Wynne used to share Braille books, mailing them back and forth. In Resolutions Committee, Wynne's attention to detail was something I loved. We're definitely kindred spirits in that way. You know how it is in resolutions when you're wordsmithing and someone says, "No, it should be must," and someone else says, "No, it should be shall." Page 41. "No, no, it shouldn't be may." Wynne would say, "Just make a decision. Be quiet. You've got to do this. I'm so tired." She put up with us, and she was just an awesome force. Donna Pomerantz, immediate past president, CCB. I was elected president of the BRLC in the late spring of 2010. Wynne was the editor of our newsletter, The Braille Writer. When I wrote my first presidential statement, she was so patient with her corrections. I wasn't the first grammatical heavyweight around, but she knew I was trying to do my best. Once my article came out, I was congratulated so warmly. It was so good to have her on my side and to have such complete support. Steve Fort, CCB Director, President, Bayview Chapter. I was on the Resolutions Committee with Winifred, and I thoroughly enjoyed her contributions to the committee. I remember one time, about 2 in the morning, Winifred was still there. I'm thinking, I want to go back to my room, but I'm not going to let this woman leave after me. I know she will be missed by many. My wish would be to have met her sooner. Robert Wendt, Director, CCB, Greater Long Beach Chapter. Page 42. When I became chair of the Resolutions Committee, she did so much to help me understand the process of editing a resolution. I've got to say, the quality from meetings definitely went down when Wynne resigned. Gabe Griffith, Vice President-elect, CCB, Contra Costa Chapter. Her voice reminded me of Angela Lansbury as Jessica on Murder, She Wrote. I remember her talking about how the earthquake damaged her house. She was one of the cutest, sweetest, wonderful women in my life. Christy Crispin, Chair, CCB Scholarship Committee, Inland Empire Chapter. I want to say that I believe that Wen had a beautiful and genuine soul. I got to know her when she was the editor of The Blind Californian. She was very committed and dedicated to producing a quality magazine for the organization. I was writing the Career Connections column. I'd submit an article, and I'd wait for her call. And she'd call me and say, "Kathy, we have a few things to talk about." I learned a lot from her, and I'm very appreciative of knowing Wen. May she rest in peace. Catherine Schmidt Whitaker, Publications Committee Member. Page 43. I met Winifred rather late in her life. I moved to San Francisco in 2005, and I decided to go to the San Francisco chapter because I had read Wynn's name in the Braille Forum. I was warmly welcomed by Wynn and quickly recruited for something she started, the Good Neighbor Fund, which evolved into the grant we now have, the Student Education Access Grant. 18 months later, she got me elected president of the chapter. She took me to CCB, got me on the nominations and resolutions committees, and when I ran for the board, she gave my nomination speech, so I truly feel mentored by her. On a personal level, Winifred was a staunch liberal Catholic, in the very best sense of the word. She would say a naughty thing now and then. One of my favorites, that Bill Clinton. I don't care how many women he slept with, he still was a good president. I will be attending her funeral on Monday. Her family has hired a bus to transport many of us from the church to the site of the reception. That's how much they care about our community. Page 44. I love you so much, Winifred. Rest in peace. Linda Pirelli, Chair, Publications Committee, President, BRLC, San Francisco Chapter. Page 44, continued. CCB Convention Report 2016 by Vivian Younger and Charlene Ornelas. Editor's note, for this year's conference convention report, we're going to the dogs. We thank the delegates from the Guide Dog Users of California. End of editor's note. Due to an accident on the freeway, I was not able to attend very much of the board meeting. As a result of Charles Navarrete closing the San Gabriel chapter's roster, the board determined that consequences resulting from this action should be presented to the CCB membership. Women's Breakfast. Susan Glass and Judy Wilkinson were presenters. Participants were provided with guidance and tools for creating personal stories. Each participant shared which aspects of writing that have worked for them. Page 45. As a result of this workshop, everyone seemed to know that their writing may be perceived as a gift to the writer. Technology. The following electronic devices are presented. The Braille Note Touch, KeySoft with Android operating system. This device is the first Braille tablet. The Braille Note Touch supports contracted UEB and uncontracted Braille. The HumanWare New Explore handheld magnifier comes in 3, 5, and 7 levels of magnification. Prodigy Connect 12 is a portable electronic magnifier that greatly improves a student's ability to see what is written on the blackboard. The internal memory, Wi-Fi connectivity, and the ability to take pictures, scan, and create videos makes this product a great device for those who have limited vision. Transportation, CAT, and the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, CCCLV, joint session. Attendees were informed about building code changes updates. A building standard consists of many details in order to help builders comply with ADA requirements. Many changes in the building code are a direct result of public comment and public submissions for code changes. Page 46. Request forms are online. California building codes change every 3 years. You can view code statuses online. Elements that assist in wayfinding are tactile warnings, truncated domes, wall signage, braille and letters, color contrast, and stair stripes denoting play structure elevation, pool stairs, and bathrooms, simple signage, etc. Signage must be within 18 inches of doors. ATM machines must be speech-enabled, come with connector for phone handset, and speech must be able to be interrupted, repeated, and/or stopped. Wherever a receipt is provided, a speech output device must describe what is printed on the receipt. Tactile buttons must be raised. Button colors must be contrasted against the background of ATM machines. Committee on Access and Transportation. Katrina Barceau and Teresa Gabriel discuss the Caltrans ADA program updates. Caltrans headquarters is in Sacramento. Elizabeth Dower is the headquarters ADA manager. This office provides financial support and provides policy guidelines for development of local district projects. Page 47. Districts must work in partnership with Caltrans headquarters. Caltrans has agreed to spend $1.1 billion over the next 30 years in order to remove access barriers, installing curb ramps, repairing broken, uneven pavement on pedestrian facilities, correcting non-compliant cross slopes, protruding overhangs or obstructions, and installing accessible pedestrian signal devices. The grievance process includes doing the following. Call headquarters. Be sure to provide your contact information. You can go online at dot.ca.gov in order to fill out an ADA Access Service Request form. Caltrans headquarters will determine whether it is their responsibility or whether the local district is responsible for the request. The district will ultimately provide headquarters with a proposed solution. Within 180 days, the grievant is informed about the proposed resolution status. Accessible pedestrian signals. There are many variables to consider prior to determining when and where they should be installed. Page 48. Traffic patterns, physical placement of the pedestrian accessible signal equipment, and decibel regulation specifications are examples of factors that affect where accessible pedestrian signals will ultimately be installed. Wherever the platform is going to need a detector, the new installation must include the accessible pedestrian signal system. It should be located between 1.5 feet from the edge of the curb up to a maximum of 5 feet. The height of an accessible pedestrian signal should be within 3.5 to 4 feet. The decibel level must be 5 decibels above the traffic noise and/or ambient environment. If there are two ASPs placed together, they must be 10 feet apart. For someone who is mobility impaired, timing adjustments can be made. Examples of locations where accessible pedestrian signals are typically installed are blind centers, T-intersections, senior centers, transit terminals, wide intersections, etc. Once the APS has been installed, it must be activated, used. Disuse of an accessible pedestrian signal will result in it being removed. Page 49, General Session 1. In the Indian culture, the elderly are greatly respected. Raul Chrisman, Vyas Band of Mission Indians tribal member guest speaker, informed us that his grandfather was the Google of the family. His wisdom, foresight, and insight were revered. Although his grandfather was blind, he saw visions around his surroundings. There are 120 students who are bused to public schools. The Southern Indian Council provides outreach to neighboring reservations. If a disabled Native American attends public school, the school will receive 3 times the funding as compared to an average student who attends the same school. National Highway Traffic Administration, Christopher Murphy informed the audience about automated vehicle research activities. 90% of crashes are caused by human error, driver distractions, and fatigue. The ultimate goal of this agency is to ensure that automated vehicle technology will play a primary part in saving lives. An NHTA public meeting is planned to take place in California soon. Page 50. Self-advocacy. Abigail Tamara, along with her attorney, Cecilia McGinnis, successfully fought for Abigail's right to have her service dog be with her during 2 hospital stays. Although Abigail tried to educate hospital staff about the ADA law and advocate for her rights, she ended up seeking legal counsel. Abigail's attorney informed the audience that Abigail's documentation, organization, and communication skills helped her lawsuit move along. Abigail stated that her attorney's patience and willingness to learn about the world of the disabled kept communication flowing. Cecilia McGinnis touched upon the framework of a lawsuit. The audience seemed impressed about Abigail's advocacy success. Victims of crime. Linda Pena and Desmond Townsend informed the audience about the Victim Assistance Program. A victim is anyone that is emotionally, physically, or financially affected by crime. Examples of services provided to victims are food, clothing, shelter, financial aid, and other resources and agency referrals. Page 51. The Victim Assistance Program helps victims keep track of the progress of their case. The victim is able to track whether restitution has been paid or not. Elder abuse and child abuse are handled by designated staff. Victims can be compensated as well. Second General Session. Remembrances of those who have passed were shared. The credentials, legislation, ACB, and the CCB President's reports were presented. Charlene Ornelas, Paul Patchy, Rob Turner, and Gail Crossan were elected to the CCB Board. Judy Wilkinson was elected CCB President. Frank Welty was elected First Vice President. And Gabe Griffith was elected Second Vice President. Future convention goals were discussed. Since there is an interest in conducting conventions online, and since CCB agreed that after 3 years, convention concerns would be revisited, many suggestions about upcoming conventions were shared. Based on those who were present in the audience, it seemed that most of the CCB members would like to continue to have face-to-face conventions. Page 52. I, along with several other people, think that there should be a blend of telephonic, online, and in-person conventions. A task force will be formed to investigate this topic further. GDUC. During the business meeting, Pam Metz and Mail Gordon were elected to board directors. Alice McGrath was elected vice president. Vita Savoli was elected treasurer. And Vivian Younger was elected secretary. GDUC program. Debbie Sands spoke about what challenges businesses face with respect to fake service dogs. She discussed how business and guide owners can recognize and proactively approach those with fake service dogs. I agree with Debbie about not allowing the public to pet my guide. By not doing so, Debbie indicated that this sets service dogs apart from fake service dogs. I was so impressed by Debbie Sands' presentation. I plan on embossing it for future reference. Canine Companion for Independence. Pete, a CCI graduate, informed us about the types of service this school trains. There are 4 categories of dogs that are trained. Page 53. They include service, hearing, companion, and therapy dogs. Service dogs learn about 40 commands. These include retrieving and carrying commands. Pete enjoys educating the public about service dogs. Track sessions. Since I wanted to report what occurred in all 3 breakout sessions, I spent equal proportional time at each session. Leadership track. The purpose of this breakout session was to provide chapter leaders an opportunity to review the types of documents required by CCB and when they should be submitted. Representatives from chapters discussed the challenges associated with personality conflicts and motivating people to complete tasks. In order for chapters to be on the same page, Frank Welty is planning on providing CCB chapters with a toolbox containing information regarding forms, membership rosters, treasury reports, and when said reports are due. Anyone who is thinking about running for office or taking part in a leadership role would benefit from attending this breakout track session. Page 54. Employment Breakout Track. During the employment breakout session, Katherine Schmidt-Whitaker and Vita Zavoli discussed the ideas about how to prepare for job growth, networking, participating on serve lists, informing coworkers about your new goals and/or positions you are seeking within your company, and signing up for professional advancement courses can lead to job growth opportunities. Participants were encouraged to look into other employment resources as well. Self-esteem track. During the 3rd breakout session, Linda Johnson discussed how to improve self-esteem. Tips were provided in order to help participants learn how to recognize and avoid potentially negative self-talk behavior. Examples of self-talk traps were presented. 3rd General Session. A constitutional amendment concerning delegate credential requirements, paid membership status, and submittal of documents to the CCB office by February 15th was passed. The CCB membership voted to remove Charles Navarrete from the CCB board. By acclamation, Vivian Younger was elected to fill this position. Page 55. Respectively submitted, Vivian Younger. Thursday afternoon was the board meeting. There was a concern about breach of confidentiality by a board member, and there was a discussion on this matter. The treasurer gave his report. There was a report on the LA Mutstrut, which is planned for November. Thursday evening, things got off to a great start by having handlers, along with other women, get pampered at the Viaga Spa. Some of the dogs got to have plenty of time with Frank and friends. The women ate sub sandwiches, fruit, and fresh vegetables. We dogs just got to lay there and smell the fragrances. The women also had wine and champagne, but didn't get too high because they still had to follow our lead. We returned to the hotel and resort area for credentials and nominating committee. Off to bed because tomorrow will be a late night. Page 56. Friday, I went to the CAT, Committee on Access and Transportation, and CCCLV, California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, Joint Committee meeting. There were presentations on Title 24 code changes and APS, Audible Pedestrian Signals Guidelines. Editor's note, simultaneously with the CAT-CCLV session, the Braille Revival League of California and California Chapter of the Library Users of America met separately and then held a joint meeting where they discussed the possible merger of the two statewide affiliates. A committee member was established to report back to the members later this year. End of editor's note. I was at the GDUC table during lunch and the first part of the general session. I heard the presentation on service dog denial. This might be a subject for a discussion, as I have mixed feelings about Go Everywhere for service dogs. I also heard the presentation of service for victims of crimes in San Diego County, including having an advocate accompany you to court. Page 57. Friday night, I went to the president's dinner, where candidates were put on the hot seat with questions and answers for the various offices. The second session of the convention started with remembrances of members we have lost during the time between conventions. Among them were Tom Carnes, Richard Harmon, Robert Greenwald, and Winifred Downing. Many gave touching remembrances of that special pillar of the CCB. As conferences and conventions are getting so expensive, a discussion was started on what can be done to increase attendance and participation and keep the personal connections and networking that occurs during an on-site event. There will be conference calls in the future and other attempts to get input from members. Credentials legislation. ACB Representative John McCann and Jeff Toms, President ACB, reports were given. We ended the night with elections. Saturday started bright and early with the membership breakfast, followed by the GDUC business meeting, which Vivian discussed. We had an excellent presentation on handling access and dealing with fake service dogs. Page 58. Our luncheon speaker was from Canine Companions for Independence and talked about the training they and their dogs go through. I was not able to attend any tracks because I was needed at the GDUC table in the exhibit hall. The banquet was fantastic, if I have to say so myself. We were entertained by Laurie B.B. Lewis, singing and playing the keyboard, her husband Chuck on guitar, and a friend on bass, Jim. Laurie told stories about her career and some of the many groups she has played with. I may be prejudiced about Laurie. She was my idea and happens to be a good friend. Editor's note, at the banquet, chapters made donations to the CCB and awards were given. The Membership Growth Award went to Guide Dog Users of California for the largest percentage of growth and to the Greater LA Chapter for the greatest number of new members. The Publications Committee gave writing awards for their BC contributions throughout the years to Bonnie Rennie and Jeff Tom, who contributed the greatest number of articles over the past decade. End of editor's note. Page 59. Sunday was the business part of the convention with low attendance. There was a notice given on Friday about a motion regarding a member of the board being presented on Sunday. A motion to remove Charles Namorati from his board seat was presented and seconded. There was a discussion with several members pointing out that Charles should have known better than to post a chapter roster in an email. The roster contained names, addresses, phone numbers, and birth dates. Charles rebutted to comments, and the question was called for. The vote was overwhelming in favor of removing Charles from his board seat immediately. The vote was taken by secret ballot from members. Roll call of chapter and affiliates, and each board member was called and gave a voice vote. Vivian Younger was nominated and elected by acclamation for the now vacant board seat. Respectfully, Charlene Ornelas, alternate delegate. Page 20 continued. CCB Teleconference Board Meeting Minutes Summary, January 25, 2016, by Artis Bazin, CCB Secretary. Jeff Tom brought the teleconference board meeting to order, and Artis Bazin called the roll. President Jeff Tom, page 21. Eugene Lozano, Jr., Second Vice President. President Judy Wilkinson, Secretary Artis Bazin. Treasurer Peter Bardini, Immediate Past President Donna Pomerantz. Directors, Lena Bandy, Vincent Calderon, Joe Lopez, Pam Metz, Charles Nabaretti. Paul Patch Jr., Frank Welty, and Robert Wendt. Steve Fort was absent. Judy made a motion to accept the October 4th minutes as sent, which was seconded and passed. Judy made a motion to accept the October 26th minutes. Lena seconded the motion, and it passed. Judy made a motion to accept the December 29th minutes. Donna seconded the motion, and it passed. Jeff spoke about our involvement in the Coalition on Long-Term Care Services and Supports. The Mutt-Strutt options were discussed. Judy made a motion to have no Mutt-Strutt in Sacramento in 2016. Jean seconded the motion, and it passed. Donna made a motion to delay the acceptance of the L.A. Mutt-Strutt until March. Peters seconded the motion, and it passed. Jean gave an update on the upcoming CCB convention. Page 22. Peter made a motion to provide subsidies for meals at the convention. Artis seconded the motion, and it passed unanimously. Artis made a motion stating the revocation of the AMC chapter would remain in place based on the subsequent actions taken by the AMC affiliate. Frank seconded the motion. In the course of discussion, and before a vote could be taken, Charles brought another motion forward. Charles moved to refer this issue to a committee of the board to try to resolve the problem by March. Joe seconded the motion. Judy made an amendment to Charles's motion, which was accepted, that all records from AMC be released to this committee. The motion passed with Vince voting no and Jean abstaining. Judy made a motion to sign a contract with San Diego Events. Mark seconded the motion, and it passed. Judy said the Publications Committee will come with a recommendation on the BC cassette version at the next board meeting. More investigation is needed before any recommendation can be made on the vehicle donation website. Peter mentioned needing to transfer from savings to cover expenses. Page 23. Public comments on items not on the agenda were taken. Artis made a motion to adjourn the meeting. Peter seconded the motion, and it passed at 9:54 p.m. Page 60. California Council of the Blind. Officers and Board as of July 1st, 2016. Editor's note. We are indebted to Bernice Kandarian, who updates and corrects the list of CCB officers and board members, including the number of the term each is presently serving, the year elected to that term, and the year next up for election. Term begins on July 1st following election. The presence of an asterisk means that the individual served a partial term before the first full term. End of editor's note. President Judy Wilkinson, San Leandro, 16 to 18, first term, 510-388-5079, judy.wilkinson@ccbnet.org. First Vice President, Frank Welty, San Leandro, 16 to 18, first term, 510-541-1442, frank.welty@ccbnet.org. Second Vice President, Gabe Griffith, Concord, asterisk, 16-17, partial term, 925-768-8195, gabe.griffith@ccbnet.org. Secretary Artis Bazin, Burbank, 15-17, first term, artis.bazin@ccbnet.org. Page 61. Treasurer Peter Bardini, Mill Valley, 16-18, fourth term, 415-990-9202, peter.bardini@ccbnet.org. Immediate past president, Jeff Tom, Sacramento, 16-undetermined, 916-995-3967, jeff.tom@ccbnet.org. Board of Directors, Gail Crossan, La Habra, 16-18, first term, 562-691-3391, gail.crossan@ccbnet.org. Steve Fort, Alameda, 15-17, first term, 510-604-5657, steve.fort@ccbnet.org. Joseph Lopez, Goleta, 15-17, first term, 805-683-0007, joseph.lopez@ccbnet.org. Pamela Metz, Chatsworth, 15-17, first term, 818-882-3610, pamela.metz@ccbnet.org. Charlene Ornelas, Oceanside, 16-18, First term, 619-339-6043. Charlene.Ornelas@ccbnet.org. Paul Patch Jr., Sacramento, 16-18, second term, 916-662-0861. Paul.Patch@ccbnet.org. Page 62. Rob Turner, Sunnyvale, 16-18, first term, 408-203-9300. Rob.Turner@ccbnet.org. Robert Wendt, Long Beach, 15-18, third term, 562-438-7100. Robert.Wendt@ccbnet.org. Vivian Younger, Downey, *16-17, partial term, 562-879-6693. Vivian.Younger@ccbnet.org. Publications Committee. Linda Porelli, Chair, San Francisco, California, 94112, 415-577-8437. Linda.Porelli@ccbnet.org. Judy Wilkinson, Editor. Susan Glass, Associate Editor. Annette Carter, Mike Keithley, Roger Peterson, Bonnie Rennie, Donna Sanchez, Dr. Catherine Schmidt-Whitaker. California Council of the Blind, Executive Office, 1303 J Street, Suite 400, Sacramento, California, 94814-2900. Free matter for the blind and handicapped. Address service requested. Area for label here. If you or a friend would like to remember the California Council of the Blind in your will, you can do so by employing the following language. I give, devise, and bequeath unto the California Council of the Blind, a nonprofit charitable organization in California, the sum of, to be used for its worthy purposes on behalf of blind persons. If your wishes are more complex, you may have your attorney communicate with the executive office for other suggested forms. Thank you.